Welcome to the second episode of the Safety Third podcast, where we talk about all things involving safety and science. And I don't know, I don't know what I'm doing. Today's episode stars Niall Redd. Say hello, Nigel.
Oh, hi.
Peter Threeple, Airplane Rain Man, and the Backdoor Scientist.
Reporting for duty.
There's a lot of stuff to talk about today. I just got out of the hospital.
I completely forgot about that.
Thank you. I spent 3 days in the hospital. Remember, I was complaining about my stomach pains. Like, I literally
last stream said, you were complaining about it.
I couldn't sleep because my stomach hurt, and then the next day I went to the hospital. Or maybe 2 days. I don't know.
And we all brushed it off. We're like, oh, yeah, that happens all the time. You know, you get a stomach ache.
I brushed it off too.
I mean, the way he made it sound it did seem a little bit worse than a regular stomach ache, but we did brush it off. We did move on quickly.
So when you decided to go, did you like go to the ER or what did you do?
Yeah, I went to the ER. Well, okay. So
did you drive?
We called urgent care. We went to urgent care. And urgent care, because I feel like, dude, I don't like calling the police. I don't like going to the ER. Just I feel like the problem's not that bad. I'm not going to, you know, I don't need to do that. So we went to urgent care and they said that there's basically, if we come to any conclusion right now, it's that you should go to the ER. And if you leave right now, we'll just cancel the visit and won't charge you anything. And I was like, okay, see ya. I left and we went straight to the emergency room.
Okay.
I really appreciate them saying that, because, you know, who knows? That could have been $100 or something. And I just went to the ER sooner than I would have. For urgent care is not too bad, and our insurance is pretty good. If we didn't have insurance, though, God knows.
Yeah.
So they did. I came in. I said my stomach hurts, and they're like, okay. They threw me in the CT scanner, and they're like, yep, your appendix is slightly dilated, is what they said. Like, it's just slightly swollen. So we caught it really early. Or maybe just got lucky and it started hurting sooner than normally it does. Because people go in for their appendix with like agonizing pain. And here I am.
Like, it hurts so bad.
I think it's sometimes
like dying,
just
throwing
gets
up.
Really bad, really fast.
Yeah. And I just like, I kind of come in like a little kid, like, oh, my tummy hurts. Like, so it felt wrong though, if that makes any sense. Like, you know, when you feel pain and it kind of like goes away a little bit, like the fact that it didn't go away just didn't feel right. And so I did like, we have really good insurance because Chelsea's a teacher, so I'm like, yeah, screw it, I'm gonna use it, like, why not?
The weird thing is I had an episode with like anaphylactic shock back then. I was kind of getting over it. This is like probably six years ago. Here's how it went. So I don't know, I think it was the acne medication. It had some serious side effects, but I took it anyways because my acne is really bad when I was younger.
Dude, I've heard acne medication can mess you up.
Oh, it really does. It's
like
no
weird
joke.
Dreams.
Yeah.
Like, it messes with your brain.
But anyways,
Kevin, the worst thing you thought of was weird dreams?
No, it's like psychological. Like, it really messes with your brain chemistry.
But the weird thing for me is
trying to kill you? Wait, so what'd it do to you, Peter?
Oh, okay, so what it did was to put my acne from my face and put it directly on my back, which is very
weird. The inside of back.
I had like cystic back me. It's like you could see like a little bit of blood stains on my shirt occasionally from the zits popping. I was like, well, this is gross, but at least it's on my back, not on my face. But then I started to have like stool problems. Like, I'd go to the bathroom, but depending on what kind of stool I had, how gross would you be with
this? Yeah, go for it.
Okay. Anyway, so
you, like, you can open up as like much as you want.
A bar stool?
No, not that kind. It's like liquid stool, like liquid.
Okay.
So he was trying to be scientific. So let me translate. He was taking some monster dookies.
It was only when it was like kind of liquid, because I would eat some very acidic stuff, which would, I think it permeated my intestinal liner, because I kept having this reoccurring episode when I would eat these really gnarly soups, like ramen on steroids. Like, if you've ever eaten the really Asian versions, they have all these like oils and stuff.
Yeah.
So I think it was
like
causing
chili oil.
Yeah. It was causing my intestinal liner to leak when I would have these liquid stools.
Like,
so what would happen?
Your abdomen?
I would go to the bathroom, and then what would happen was I would start kind of like have a difficult time breathing, and next thing you know, I had to scratch around my face and stuff, and I would see a bunch of bumps everywhere, and I would break out in a huge rash.
And after that,
I would actually, my airway would start to close up, and I'd start wheezing. And the first time I was like, this isn't feeling good.
So wait, The soups must have been really good. To persevere through all
flavor?
Of that.
Peter, do you remember the flavor?
It was the funny tasting ramen at like Walmart. Funny what's the tasting soup in the red package? Let me pull it up. Let me see.
Is it Shin Ramen?
It's Shin Ramen. Yeah, yeah,
yeah.
Because that's like I'd soup so good Shin, that your Shin asshole will explode.
Well,
like
anyways,
that's marketing, dude. They could sponsor you. Like this stuff is so good that like I ate through my like GI tract dissolving.
Well, and apparently like he couldn't breathe too. That
yeah, but
he,
to finish my
he made it through that as well.
Wait, how did you guys immediately know what it was? Just the red?
The red? What do you mean?
You guys, everyone immediately figured out what the brand was. Or Shin Ramen? Is that
oh
the
yeah,
flavor?
Shin Ramen. It's
because it's one popular, that Walmart yeah. carries. But it's also super popular, yeah.
Yeah, it was really good. But anyways, I did this a total of like 3 times where I had this anaphylactic kind of like episode where it would just, you know, permeate my liner and get into my bloodstream because it happened very.
Wait, what?
Dude, this is turning into like boomer medical problems.
It is.
I don't know. It's so weird.
What we did last time? Last time we just complained about all our ailments.
I don't know. It's like you're saying the soup permeated your stomach liner and got into your bloodstream.
Because I was Googling this.
I don't know if I believe that.
I feel I like that's probably what it felt like. Yeah. It's got to just be what it felt like. You didn't have a doctor tell you that, right?
They told me to stop eating the soup and stop taking the medication.
Well, yeah, no. Of course.
Yeah, but did they say that it permeated and got into your blood?
I bet Peter's got ramen in his veins.
I bet you it probably felt like something was dissolving into your stomach. Like that would be my guess. It's like...
I didn't feel nothing.
Really?
Yeah. I would just pass the stool and I would be like, this is weird. I'm starting to have an itchy rash, you know, appear around my throat. And next you know, a rash would break out of my body and then I couldn't breathe.
This so brings what, another, you, did, like another topic that I want to talk about. I like, this is maybe a controversial opinion. No way. It's not controversial. American ramen sucks.
Yeah, it's true.
Like instant ramen, like the packets that you can buy in like Asian grocery stores or that we got in Japan when we were there, they are actually 10 times better.
I mean, actually, I'll say the worst ramen I ever had ever was in Japan.
Okay, let me, I'll say one thing. Ramen is not good for you.
I mean, it's half of what I eat and
it doesn't matter where you buy it, who you buy it from. If you buy like ramen made in a restaurant, it is not good for you. It is so much sodium. It is so much fat. Like if you finish the broth, you've probably consumed an entire day or a day and a half worth of sodium.
Week's worth of sodium.
Yes. Like actually like probably 3,000 plus milligrams of sodium. Like a lot of restaurant food is not healthy for you at all.
I'm trying to find the ramen I eat in Japan. It was the worst ramen I ever had.
Why?
So I'm looking it up. It was like yellow duck ramen. It was something like that. I don't know.
Was it an instant ramen?
Yeah. Oh yeah. Yeah. I should say it wasn't.
No,
it wasn't.
Jesus.
No, but a lot of the instants were really good. But I decided to try this yellow duck, or I don't know what it was. It was yellow something. I don't really know the history of it, but I know I think Osaka. There's like a tower that sells it or that's its headquarters. I don't know. This is weird.
You can't
but either
say
way,
that you went to Japan and they had a weird instant ramen. Of course they had a weird instant ramen.
No, but it was like the worst instant ramen I ever had. It made me sick and I almost threw up from it. Like it was horrible. It was one of the worst things I've ever had. But the other ones were good.
Yeah.
I can't find it though. It was a very – I'm going to look it up.
I buy mine on Amazon now. I find there's a couple of like – I like tonkatsu. And there's a bunch of stuff you can get. There's like one on Amazon where I think they strip the seasoning packets out of like a noodle bag and they like must throw the noodles away and then they sell you like a sack of the seasoning packets. And I think it's like a condensed broth too. It's not even powder. It's like an actual it's clearly some sort of like not even dehydrated. It's just like a very like thick broth. And then you water it down with like, you know, 3 cups of water or something. I've been wanting to do an instant ramen, like, comparison.
Oh, like a blind taste test?
Yeah, and just see, like, which instant ramen, like, tastes the best.
I kind of want to make an airplane out of the instant ramen. Like, mold the noodles over, like, an airfoil and let it dry out.
Oh, that would be great. It'd
be, like, super crispy and hold its shape.
I think you could totally do that. I think they fry them, though. I don't know how. You'd have to, like, they definitely fry the moisture out of the noodles. I think that's how they get them. or something like that.
I don't know. I don't think the stuff in Walmart's very healthy for you. I'm pretty sure if I soak it, it'll fully saturate, and if I just leave it out in the sun, it'll just re-crispitize.
Yeah, I mean, welcome to something that they sell in a bag that lasts for 2 years on your shelf.
I'm going to try that. I'm going to write that down. Ramen and airplane. You guys watch. For all of y'all, you know, looking for some tidbits of extra content, Ramen Airplane is in the pipeline.
All right. Last time we read an email from someone who was complaining about our safety. You remember that, Kevin? I think his name was Chris.
Yes.
And I think Nigel sided with him and we were salty. I mean, he had a point, but he's also wrong. We're all wrong. Everybody's wrong.
Was he the rocket guy?
Yeah, that was the rocket one.
Okay.
So this is one that I got a couple of days ago from, I don't know how to read that. It's much tamer. It's only a single sentence. It is, you should make a pinata that doesn't let you hit it. I don't think I can make a video out of that, but I feel like.
Wait, was that the same guy?
No, this is someone different.
Okay. The guy follows up his safety email. Yeah,
no, because we're recording this. We haven't posted that podcast yet. So if he's seen it, he hasn't seen it. That one's not so bad. I kind of like that. It's kind of a fun idea. I just don't know how I'd make a video out of that. A pinata, or maybe like, I don't know, like a prank, like a birthday party prank or something.
So why are you mentioning this email?
Oh, I'm just reading more emails. You got any?
Oh.
We should share some. I like the emails.
I'm still trying to research what that ramen was.
If you figure it out. That's too late for that.
So, do you know how much sodium you need per day?
How much you need?
2,000 milligrams?
2,000. That's how much. Guess how much the average American eats per day?
Oh, God. Like four six, or five? 6 to 10,000.
I say 8,000.
My grandpa was a doctor. He told me it's like 6 to 8,000 per day, but I just looked online. It says like 4,000 per day. So, yeah. Most people are at least double that. Now,
but you know that the average Japanese I looked it up now. The average Japanese person has like double what an American has. So it says in 2019, really? The average consumption was around 11 grams for men.
I think it's
ramen,
dude.
Per day. That's a lot.
I wonder if that's prevalent in most Asian
literally
cultures.
Ramen.
I wonder if it has to do with like the ratio of sodium to potassium. You know how they say like you got to balance the fats in your diet or like your cholesterol. Yeah. I wonder if it's like that too, because I'm also reading that. You need 4,700 milligrams of potassium per day. But guess how many people hit that? Only 2% of Americans get enough potassium in their diet, which is pretty wild.
They need more bananas. 2%.
We need if they just swapped all the sodium in the ramen for potassium.
Have you tasted potassium salt, though?
KCL tastes pretty similar to NaCl.
Okay,
it's like sour.
But KCL itself is more toxic, I think.
KCL is potassium.
KCL, potassium chloride, is what they use for lethal injections to kill
exactly.
You.
So I'm saying that it's a little bit more toxic than
hey, that's a video. You can do a video chloride. On like DIY but, lethal
that's
injection.
That's a video idea. What?
Did I ever tell you guys that Michael and I recorded a test podcast like 2 years ago and we never posted it because it was so bad?
Yeah, I think you did tell me that.
I didn't hear about this.
It's probably how this one's going to end up.
No. I learned from there that you have to be more free flowing. The idea of that podcast was to try to work through inventions that people had, like ideas. And it was kind of like someone would give you maybe a bad idea or like an insulting idea or kind of a questionable idea, and you'd have to work through it. So we didn't have any suggestions for the first podcast. So we came up with our own, and Michael, this had to have been Michael's idea. There's no way it was my idea. It was a machine that only kills babies. And like, okay, it's not like I or Michael want to do this. We just thought it was funny for like someone to give you a horrendous prompt. Like, imagine you're like forced to do these things by a supervillain or something. Like, you work for some supervillain and they have your family hostage and they're like, build me a machine that kills babies. And you're like, all right, boss, whatever.
Oh no, I'm just trying to think right now. I mean, is it maybe like a height sensor? And
oh no, I have like some ideas. I'll tell you how we worked through it. So I'm trying to alleviate the ethical concern because I don't
nor Michael Reeves
at any point ever wanted to kill babies. It's just funny because there's definitely a technical solution to wildly unethical problems. And like that was the point, was like trying to find something that would be very unethical, but still trying to figure out how to do it, you know, within reason. You know,
imagine there's a
like,
there's a term for this, you know, that
what?
It's called a nerd snipe.
Yeah.
It was
really?
By XKCD came up with it, and their whatever example was, it's a comic book, and I'll put it in here. You could put it in the thing, and it says there's a certain type of brain that's easily disabled. If you showed an interesting problem, it involuntarily drops everything else to work on it.
Yeah.
So this has led me to a new sport, nerd sniping,
to and try say, and distract people.
No, yeah, but it's basically just like, you know, weird things that don't even really need an answer, but you just think about it too much.
I never watched the show, but I think Silicon Valley has that like
yes, I know what you're talking about. The hand job thing or something, right?
Right, where they're like, and they, like the way that the clip is edited together, it's like it seems as if like hours and hours and hours have passed, and like the whiteboard just gets more full and full and full of math of like trying to solve this problem of how do you jerk off an entire like auditorium full of people. And there was stuff about like height misalignments, and it's like, well, but height misalignment doesn't necessarily mean penis misalignment. And so like it was all of this like statistics.
So it's about the angle maybe.
Dude, it's so funny. And it's like
they solved the problem,
right?
And they figured it out.
We wanted to do that, and our problem was just a little bit maybe too much. It was, how could you build a machine that only kills babies? And I think we came to some conclusion of like, you could do like thermal detection on a drone, and it like detects bodies, and you could have some neural network that like detects babies. So it's like,
you know what's really funny about all that? I was watching a video about like a invasive starfish on like a like that eats like actual coral reefs. It's called the crown of thorn starfish. They trained an AI bot, which is, you know, neural network, to like figure out these starfish. It had like a 99.9% hit rate of like success.
Wow.
It would literally hover up to the starfish, stab its probe inside of it, and inject it full of something. It was something non-toxic.
Oh, was it not just a recognition with AI? It was like an actual robot?
It was well, recognition.
Like, how do you tell
AI
one starfish from another?
They just trained the neural network to figure it out, and eventually it had a really good hit rate of figuring these things out.
Dude, I feel like neural networks are so much less smart than people think.
I feel like taking that 5 minutes to do research, I just have no idea what's going on anymore.
We're talking about baby killing machines. Yeah, and now we're killing starfish. Like the neural network recognizes.
Could you do like a pressure plate that only activates if something passes over it less than?
Yeah, but then you'd have
pounds
to like push people through. You'd have to like somehow find like a way. No, like babies don't do that. Like babies don't move.
Oh, right? I know. Something that you have to jump over, or
even someone would carry. It's got like it's not a. It's not a filter. It's a machine that actively seeks out and kills babies.
So that's like literally, that's okay. Literally this water drone that
okay wait I forgot there was another
fish.
There I forgot there's another thing there was a gun on the drone.
okay
so it was a drone
like,
that went around.
This is beyond me. This is like image recognition algorithms and stuff.
Well, because you had to be sure that you didn't kill any like children or adults.
Yeah,
I mean,
no.
So you say you had to be sure. Why does it, you know, a little bit of error here and there isn't.
Everything has some error, but like you have to, like your goal has to be to not have error. Mm-hmm. So you need to have some sort of way of like filtering out.
But define the threshold between child and baby though.
I don't know, 18
Peter's
months.
Peter's asking the real question.
Less than 2 years. Less than
see,
two
there's
years,
a lot maybe of parameters here that we need to figure out.
So, yeah, because how are you going to weed out, like, the kids
I didn't
kids
say we had to work through
didn't
the problem again. Oh, God.
Who didn't grow quick enough or grew
you
too
opened
quickly.
The gates well.
That would be a very difficult problem to solve. Like, a very big, a big baby.
Or impossible problem.
Yeah.
Oh, I just found the ramen I ate, and people apparently you can get it in the US. It's just it's just Nissin ramen. I've never seen it here. Maybe I have actually. But the one I got was horrible.
I like
yeah, this is
terrible.
Like this is what they have in all the grocery stores here.
The one thing I would never try cooking is ramen from scratch. Wait, do you have a link to it?
The Nissin?
Wait, what was it? What flavor was it?
Just chicken. Nissin? Look it up again.
chicken ramen? How is that
I've
that
seen
bad?
That stuff. Dude, it's not that bad.
I really want to try.
Maybe
ramen
maybe
from
my
scratch.
Thing was spoiled.
It probably was spoiled.
Ramen doesn't get spoiled.
Yeah, there's no way. It's just Nando just posted a picture of like a completely ordinary chicken ramen.
It looks super generic, but I ate it and it's the only thing that I was talking to my brother about this today. Like, I've never really gotten food poisoning, and that was like the only thing that got me close.
Are you sure? Because it's just sodium and noodles. I don't understand.
I've never thrown up from eating food.
Yeah,
I don't know. It doesn't make any sense.
Sick, dude. But it's like, did you eat anything earlier in the day?
Yeah, we ate a lot.
It might have been that. You might have eaten something earlier in the day.
No, because we didn't eat anything for hours, and then I decided to eat the ramen.
Like over 6 hours, though? Because it takes about 6 to 8 hours
for food poisoning.
So basically, I don't remember what happened in the day. Like, I can't say. But we got back at like 6, and then at like 11, I was like, oh, I'm a little bit hungry. I'll make the ramen I bought. So I made it, and then I think it was like 30 minutes or like 40 minutes. I couldn't finish it. I thought it tasted terrible. Right. And then like 30 minutes later, I started getting a stomach ache and I was like, oh no, am I going to throw up? And then I kind of had like the same experience that you had with your dying stomach. I felt like something was stabbing my stomach all night.
Yeah.
But like nothing really happened. I just couldn't sleep. And then I got up the next day and I don't know. My stomach was just queasy the next day.
Dude, I haven't had food poisoning. Like, I've only had it twice. And like, recently it was like 2019, maybe 2019. Like, the first time I think I ever got food poisoning was Taco Bell. And
Taco
I
Bell can't poison you.
I didn't go back to Taco Bell for probably 3 or 4 years. I'm over it's, that now. I can eat Taco Bell again.
Food poisoning is such a strong like memory. It's wild.
Like, total psychological.
But
rewind.
That Nissin ramen
I don't eat hot dogs anymore.
Really? That Nissin ramen
like,
is the only thing
scared
that
of a bean burrito?
Made me ever feel sick. Sorry.
Food poisoning will like make you terrified of ice cream. Like genuine. Like a ghost is. Well, ghosts aren't scary. What's actually scary? I don't know. The IRS.
Hot
like,
dogs.
Kevin.
Food poisoning
Kevin,
can
you haven't had a hot
brain
dog
into being more
in a
scared
long time.
Of a
no, not,
than
not in like 8 years.
Dude, I had a hot dog yesterday.
Oh, hot dogs are great. Oh. I love hot dogs.
Why you got poisoned by one, Kevin?
Yeah, I for sure.
What's the best way to cook a hot dog? Boiling.
Throw it in the trash.
Wait.
Come on. Actually, I have
the best way to cook a hot dog? On the count of three, what's the best way to cook a hot dog?
Microwave.
One, two,
yeah,
three.
Microwave.
Boiling.
I was gonna say microwave.
No. What? No, that's the worst way to cook a hot dog.
So wait, Peter.
Yeah.
What do you think about this? You take the hot dog, you put it in the bun, you wrap it in paper towel, and you microwave it.
That is exactly what I did as a kid because that's all I could
yes.
do.
Yes.
I did that as a kid too.
You have to eat it really quickly or the bun goes stale.
Dude, boiling a hot dog.
I
want to
tell you guys a story about how I knew that I was a scientist. And it starts when I was a kid and I wanted to make a hot dog. So it was me and my friend and we wanted to make a hot dog. And we knew that you microwaved hot dogs, but we didn't know for how long.
What do you mean by make a hot dog? Like you wanted to cook a hot dog or you made it?
Yeah, we wanted to eat a hot dog.
Was it a pre-cooked one though?
Yeah, it was like an Oscar Mayer wiener. It doesn't matter. It was just we were hungry and we wanted to make a hot dog. We wanted to heat it up. And I knew that you could cook them in a microwave, but we didn't know for how long. So we had a pack of 8 hot dogs and we started it at 5 minutes in the microwave.
Okay. No, I'm a little overdone.
That hot dog came out like exploded.
How would you even let it go 5 minutes? Like it would have been making all sorts
know.
Of crazy.
Steam would have been pouring out.
It may actually have caught
on
fire.
Well, we wrapped
it
in a paper towel.
I like to hear that. That's a good step.
And we backed up from there. So 5 minutes was too much. So we tried 4 minutes and 30 seconds.
Turns out that was too much too.
Yeah. And we got all the way down to like a minute.
That's almost too much.
And that was 8 hot dogs and that was about too much. And then we had 1 hot dog between both of us.
Did you ever think of just like heating it up for 30 second intervals until it got
No. No.
How old were you?
I don't know. Oh, I don't know. I must have been like 8 or something
but
like that.
They tasted okay. They
5?
Were fine.
I don't know.
Did you eat the one that was for 5 minutes?
Yeah. No, we ate the one that was for 1 minute and we split it because that was the last hot dog. 1 minute and 30 seconds.
What
was
wrong
much.
With the overcooked ones?
Okay, everybody listening, go put a hot dog in the microwave for 5 minutes and see what happens.
Okay, I didn't ask.
Here's your homework assignment.
I didn't ask what was wrong with the 5 minute hot dog. I said what was wrong with the minute and 30 second one, because of course the 5 minute one's gonna get obliterated.
Wait, I thought we did this. Did we like microwave a hot dog or something for a super long time at your house, William?
Banana. It was a banana.
Yeah,
it was a microwave banana. For like 20 minutes or something. Dude, that boy was
20 minutes.
Oh, we fried it.
Someone tasted it too, right?
Probably me.
Why do we do that? Was it the myth that like plasma was going to shoot out or some nonsense like that or something?
I think we just wanted, we just had too many bananas and we just wanted to see what would happen.
Oh, okay.
No, we did. There was a, I think I said that I think if you microwave it long enough, it'll generate
Nigel
plasma.
Broken promise.
Okay, it was you.
I swear the banana will make plasma and diamonds.
I didn't say diamonds.
I did promise plasma. When did you become a scientist when you were a kid, Nigel?
When did I?
Yeah. Kevin has his hot dog moment. What was your moment?
So I had
scientific method.
I became a scientist. And then I think there was a moment when I stopped being a scientist.
Yeah.
And then I started again.
Okay. Do you have more detail than that?
So it started when I discovered fire and I liked burning things.
Okay.
I started and stopped a few times. And then my dad showed us firecrackers.
Mm-hmm. My dad did the same thing.
And I loved them until...
We didn't have firecrackers.
Actually...
I was deprived.
So one experience was I liked putting firecrackers in a tube. And then if you put another firecracker... Or if you put a BB in front, you know, you can like shoot the BB.
Oh, God.
oh, okay.
But I decided...
Like making mini cannons?
Yeah, I guess. But I decided to put too many BBs in. and I lit it, but my hand, it's hard to like describe over audio, but I had my hand on like the table that it was on. And when it exploded, there were too many BBs. So instead of shooting the BBs out, it shot all like the little cement stuff.
It just made a grenade?
Well, it shot all the cement stuff that's in the firecracker and it embedded in my hand. And I remember it just exploded and my hand went numb. And then I had like all these little like blood blisters. Mm-hmm. So that was like my first scientific scare. Mm-hmm. I was like, oh no, because your hand goes numb and you're just like, oh God.
Right. That's wild.
But that didn't deter me. What happened was I progressed and got to more powerful firecrackers and I was blowing some pretty, I don't know, I was just blowing stuff up in my backyard with my friends. And then I saw a random video. It was actually the one I think you shared a while ago, Will, where the guy's hand blew up.
Oh, spaghetti hands? Mm-hmm.
When I saw that, I was like, oh, because the firecrackers we were using were getting bigger than that. And I was just like, I got super scared.
It's time to stop playing with that.
And that's actually when I stopped liking explosives. The day I stopped.
Spaghetti hands should be like a national holiday where every kid has to watch spaghetti. Every year you have to watch the spaghetti hand video.
So, I mean,
I did. Boy Scouts, they would show us, like,
it really did scare me.
It's like, why can't they show fireworks spaghetti hand videos?
I mean, honestly,
you guys ever
do that?
Who did Boy Scouts?
I'm a big
proponent. You probably did Boy Scouts.
No, I actually didn't. But I'm a big proponent of that. I like showing you the dangers of fireworks, like, at a fireworks store.
It's pretty bad.
But Kevin, did you do Boy Scouts?
I really mess up.
What, Will?
Did you do Boy Scouts?
Yeah, I did.
Did you have to watch the, like, child molester videos?
No, we didn't do anything like that. No.
You don't remember that? It was like these horribly produced like early 2000s videos of like what was not okay, and it would be like a creepy man, and he's like, oh, you want to come mow my lawn? And they're like, yeah, sure. And he's like, I'll give you $20, and then he's like, oh, you look really hot, take your t-shirt off.
okay, quick interrupt, my camera shut off for a second and I just restarted it. I don't know why
Did it save the video?
I have no idea. Oh, fuck. I have no idea.
How much battery got left? Peter has
it's
the worst
It's
setup.
Got 54% left, so it just shut off for some reason.
Oh, hell yeah. We're good. Okay.
They'll do 30-minute recording limits on some cameras.
Okay.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
Well, wait. I caught it then. So, because it wasn't
too
long.
I was going to say, I don't think I finished answering your question about when I stopped and became a scientist, but I also really remember what I was saying.
When did you play with like chemicals? Were you just like finding stuff under your parents' kitchen?
I'll give a really abridged version. So I quit explosives and then
for Nigel, that's still
I think a year later, I almost started a forest fire. Well, I didn't. My friend almost did. And
yeah,
that
friend.
I swore to never light something on fire again. So I didn't do that for years.
Oh my God. This is coming from the guy who blew my kitchen up at my landlord's
kitchen. I did not blow your kitchen up.
We did it together as a team.
Yeah, exactly. so I still have a fire fear. I think that's probably where it's from. I'm just paranoid about fire.
Yeah.
But so I don't like explosives and fire. That stopped that.
Dude, I love fire, but you have to be so careful.
I like it when it's I like it when
it's be careful
not
about
in
it.
Somewhere that I own.
Not in Florida.
You want to never be able to buy anything again because you're just like your entire wage is being, what do they call it when the government takes your money?
Garnished.
Garnished for the rest of your life because you like.
Infringed.
It's garnished where if you do something and they catch you, even if it was an accident, like look at the gender reveal stuff.
That's just such bad judgment. It's like almost a miracle if it doesn't go wrong.
Yeah. People are dumb.
So wait, Will, you did ask when I started chem. My friend just got me a job in a lab. And then while I was there, I was like, oh, they have chemicals. I might as well just continue doing those random things I was doing. And I was like, oh, and I also might as well just film it while I'm here. And then that's how I started the channel. Like, I never really did that much chemistry. Sorry?
Can we do a chloroform video?
Well, do you want to
make some? I did one.
Do you want to make some chloroform?
Yeah. Like what happens? Like, because I've heard that chloroform is not super effective. Like, how bad would it be to demonstrate chloroform on ourselves?
Generally, I would say it's better to demo. It's better to demo ether, probably, just because chloroform itself is actually toxic.
Carcinogenic? Okay.
Yeah, it's not great, whereas ether is more benign, but you need a lot.
But you could do it really once, right? Like, they did it all the time, so you could probably do it once or twice.
What's going to not cause any serious issues?
I hear ether is actually really safe.
Ether's better. I think you can take, I think a shot of ether would be like you took like 6 or 10 shots of alcohol.
Wow.
So it's like you do have the, I think, you can look it up, but I know.
What happens? What happens inside of your, like what, how does it metabolize?
I think you feel drunk. I think it's similar to feeling trash.
It affects the same receptors as alcohol does, like GABA receptors. Mm.
Good old GABA.
Is this, why don't people, I mean, this sort of seems like something that maybe just tastes really bad or something.
It's one of these good ones. Here we go. The mechanism and site of action are still not known in detail.
That's how you know classic.
Not good. Peter, diarrhea boy, how did you know you were a scientist? I don't know. That's such a stupid word.
Let me take you
on a
trip.
That's what every kid says. I'm going to be a scientist. Uh-huh. And it's like, all right.
Well, when I discovered I wanted to be a scientist, it was the fourth grade, and there was this one kid. He, in his pocket, had a Mubachi 300-sized brushed motor and a 9-volt battery. He stuck the two together, and it was like, zzz, and I was like, oh, what is this power you possess? And I was like, what the is that? I'm like, that's so cool. How'd you do that? So I immediately went home and ripped the same stuff out of like one of my toys and touched them together. And then I knew I was God at that point. And I was like, I knew
I was God. When did you figure out you weren't God?
when the batteries died. But anyways, it was stupid stuff like that as a kid. I just kept, you know, doing stuff. I'm not a scientist by any means, but I'm an idiot with some power tools.
I would describe that as like the way kids sort of see like stuff they're interested in.
Two things about what Peter said. It's interesting how you have a moment where you realize that you are into science, because I don't have any moment like that.
Are you trying to diss me?
I was reading. No, I'm saying it's cool. I just don't. For me, I don't know. I just don't really.
Nigel's like, I was born this way.
Yeah. No, I just kind of did.
I was born different.
I feel like if you were into stuff like that, you'd be like a mechanical engineer.
I laughed, though, because I'm reading. I was looking at the Ether Wiki. It says citation needed, but it goes, Ether causes a very long excitation stage prior to blacking out.
So I feel like we could definitely test the chloroform, man.
Surgery was like that. It's like,
so you get excited and then black out. Okay, that sounds pretty good.
If we talk to a doctor and they say that, yeah, it's like nothing bad happens. Just don't do it a lot. Like, do it once and never do it again. I would do it. I would totally do it.
I mean, I have ether.
I would. If someone is
coming up as cryptocurrency.
Oh,
I do not have chloroform though. Because chloroform is almost
chloroform,
useless.
Chloroform, I feel like it might be, it's kind of scary.
I made chloroform in a video before, and I just...
I did too, actually.
Bleach and acetone.
Classic.
I don't know if we can say that, but
is anyone going to ask me when I became a scientist?
Okay, yeah. William. Well, we need your segment. When did
I was going to ask you, how did you know you were a scientist?
I don't know, dude. I just always wanted to be a scientist.
See, that's how I feel most people are.
You've had my
mom would buy me Legos. Dude, I feel like my mom probably did most of it, like just buying me stuff that I was interested in. And like,
yeah,
half my family on her side are like engineers, so I think there might just be something like wrong with me.
I think the problem.
So did you guys get like Lego kits? Will, you got them? I got them.
Lego, I definitely got them.
Dude, I feel like there's probably not a whole lot of better ways to spend money on your kids if they show any interest in science and stuff.
Just seriously,
get them all the Legos.
Yes,
like, I think
the problem with finding out when exactly you're into science is it happens at too young of an age.
That's why you have to like
kind of
throw.
Yeah, but it's up to your parents to realize that.
Yeah, you like
no, but I'm saying like for you to consciously remember like Peter, it's hard because I probably decided I like science when I was too young to really.
I'll give you a specific example because like this is like the stupidest one I can think of. Like there were a bunch of bricks and like wood and spikes. I mean, Dad was building a wall or something in the backyard, and it was like a pallet of like building materials. And I was like, oh, we could build like a robot out of this stuff. And it's like, no, you can't. Like you definitely couldn't build anything useful out of any of that material. But like I saw a bunch of material, and the first thing was like, how could I build a robot? And I must have been in like maybe. Like second grade or something. It's like, you're not going to build a robot, little Billy. Like you're going to
sticks.
Yeah. It was just like, you know, sticks and bricks and stuff. Like, but the idea, like I had, there was like a laundry cubby and it was, you know, just like a weird little pocket in the wall where you're supposed to put laundry, but no one used it. We had it full of like craft stuff. Like it was full of like these like strawberry baskets, like little wire, like little plastic baskets. Toilet paper tubes, paper towel rolls. It was kind of like,
oh, gotcha.
You know, you could build like, you know, marble machines and that kind of crap with this. And
yeah,
so like, that was like my building supplies. Like I could build things with it. And then the first thing I ever played with that was a motor was I did a science experiment in middle school. I had to do a science fair project and I did what batteries last the longest. And it was like AA batteries, but it was like lithium and alkaline and, you know, rechargeable and blah, blah, blah. And so I would just like, I built this little thing with a little motor on it and I wired it up. And I don't even remember how I came up with the idea. Cause I think that was like the first thing I'd ever done that involved like a little motor. But the instant you can make a motor spin, like the door is just open and you're like, oh, I can do anything.
That's actually one of the first things I did was was electronics. I didn't do.
It's cheap. You have 9-volt batteries at home.
Well, he does a lot of electronic stuff. So it's like, he taught us how to solder and stuff probably when I was like six.
Oh, wow.
You're ahead of me. I just wrap wires around. Like,
but now you're way ahead of me. I have the worst soldering skills.
Oh, you should see what I did as a kid.
Oh my
God. I did some atrocious stuff.
you're doing something atrocious to the audio right now.
Some horrible screeching.
Oh, really? Oh, I didn't do anything.
Yeah.
Okay. But anyways, yeah,
it's gone.
Wrapped like wires around, like taped into the batteries, and I would shove like a piece of wood on top of the contact of the battery so I could get more leverage and, you know, hold that contact down. So you just wrap that like three times with tape, and then you pray to God it just stay together.
Dude, I had an invention when I was in maybe like fourth grade. It was if you took two 9-volt batteries and you hooked them up backwards to each other so they snapped together, they would get really hot. And I was like, I have made a heater. I remember thinking like you could sell it, like you could keep your food warm. You could like, you know, have it in your gloves for when you're skiing. Like
if you did that and left it long enough, would it rupture or do they
alkaline?
Not?
Probably not.
So it works pretty well as a heater.
Honestly, yeah, it's like self-regulating, and it does like what do batteries turn into? Like what does electricity turn into? It turns into heat. So it's just like it's like a perfectly efficient use of the battery. Actually, probably. Well, I don't know. I don't know. You'd have to figure out.
No, it's 100% efficient, or well, it's like 99% efficient.
But you'd want,
like all the energy is converted into heat.
You'd
want
to figure out how to dissipate the heat as evenly as possible. So like that would be the only hard part. But like for being in a pinch, if you need a heater, like two 9-volt batteries snapped together is pretty good.
So wait,
3 seconds.
I had a follow-up question. You're asking when people realize they were scientists. I'll say when did you realize that you were a YouTuber?
Oh no. All right, who's going first?
Okay, so define YouTuber. Define, like, is this like making videos or like being like paying your bills,
like,
making videos?
I guess like when did you discover like that moment where you're kind of like, oh, This is what I do now.
Okay, so I would classify being a YouTuber as someone who like actively makes videos on YouTube. So like if you're posting a video like every month or like, you know, with some frequency and your goal is to like make videos, you're a YouTuber, even if you're not paying your bills. Like if you can pay your bills, then you're a successful YouTuber. So I would say that I was a YouTuber probably in like 2009. That's when it started. Like, because I'd made like little stop motion films as a kid on, you know, like a DV camera. I had, you know, made some like little stupid films in high school where you would like just like skits and stuff. But we were like actively trying to like make YouTube videos in like 2009, I think. Kind of like
I forgot I saw some of your older videos. They were very good.
Yeah. Thank you. Some of them are not bad. Like, you know, they're not good.
I downloaded them just in case you deleted them.
Smart. There's a bunch that you never got the opportunity to download that I still have.
I'll have to snoop when I go to your house. Like,
did you make videos as a kid, like before high school, like on a, you know, camcorder?
Yeah, not good ones. They're all in my old channel. So like my friend and I, there's a video from seventh or eighth grade where we had to like make a commercial. And so we like sold some like marshmallow thing that would make you fat. I think it was like Chubby Bunny or something was our product. And we made like a really stupid video. And I think my dad helped us edit it in iMovie.
I feel like Chubby. Because I had I made videos all the time when I was like growing up. Did you like, so you did well, but did like Kevin and Peter, did you guys also film or did you just start with?
Definitely. Yeah. Absolutely.
I'm just saying I find that everyone did it from a young age.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like if you like making you probably also like making videos. I just, you know, it's kind of the same thing.
Well, I just feel like I find it's a natural transition from liking making videos and you're doing it on your own with, you know, whatever you were doing, whatever topic you're doing. And then you kind of, you found something, I guess, that really worked for you.
Right.
And that other people seem to like.
Yeah. Cause we did skits and stuff and some of those videos, like, dude, some of those videos now have like 500,000 views, which is crazy.
Like from your high school channel.
Yeah. Early college. Late high school, early college. And, like some of them have a couple thousand views. Some of them have like less than 1,000 views. But like, I don't know, it never really took off. I think we had like 3,000 subscribers or something. And then I started doing just science stuff to try and get a job, somewhat ironically. And it was like more serious. Like the first videos on the channel were like, I can do engineering and I can document my engineering. Like, please give me a job. Cause I just like been out of school.
I don't think I ever saw your original
videos.
I'm going to go look right now.
There's one where we built a telemetry system for my friend's Formula, the FSAE race car. That they barely got the car working. So the telemetry system was pointless. And then there was like the laser cut skateboard. Mm. And so it was like more serious sort of like kind of engineering, kind of builder projects.
Speaking of laser cut skateboard.
Yeah. Do you die, Kevin?
Is audio cut off?
Oh, no, I'm saying, speaking of laser cut skateboard, I just moved my camera over because I've got it hanging up on my wall.
Oh, you have it. I forgot. Yeah, I do. Okay. Yeah, I was actually really excited to see that because I haven't seen one in a long time. They all,
I still have yours. It's hanging in my shop.
Yeah, that was, I think, it's on the wall. There's not that many of those things. I made a couple for you guys. And then the one I had one that was good that burned. And then there's one that I think might be in storage, but it's like kind of destroyed. Actually, that was really kind of fun seeing the skateboard.
I'm watching the video where I'm skipping through it. It actually looks pretty cool.
The skateboard?
Which one? The skateboard one?
It's not a good video. It's just like a maker video.
I'm not listening to it.
Yeah, exactly.
The skateboard itself looks kind of cool. Can you kick
that's on your main channel, right?
Can you do any
it's
tricks?
It's on the main channel. Yeah. In the video, I did fake tricks. And then Braille Skate.
Yeah, with like the shoes on your hands. I remember that.
Braille Skate defiled the board.
Yeah. Oh, that's actually kind of funny you brought that up. Like, that's how I kind of like met you, William.
Through Braille
Skate. Through Braille skateboarding. Because I went to the comments like, laser cut skateboard. Holy hell, that's really cool. And then everyone's like just dissing Braille skateboard because they wouldn't actually show. They show the whole video of basically you building it like in high speed, so it gave the audience no real excuse to check it out. Dude, that's lame.
I scored them like a $70 pair of titanium trucks, and they didn't put them on the skateboard. And then they showed a huge portion of the video, and then they like destroyed the skateboard at the end, like the sides peeled off because it was hard to like hold on to the side pieces without like making it look kind of bulbous. And so they just started like curb stomping the skateboard, which is kind of funny now, but at the time it was like, holy shit, you guys, like you stole the trucks, you stole the video, and you destroyed the skateboard. I think they ended up apologizing, but I was just kind of like, I don't know, like some people you can just kind of tell.
I guess it worked out because people felt bad for you and I felt really bad. I went to go check out your channel from that, and that's how I found you.
I mean, it was sort of a lot Peter's of it was a like pity a wrong subscriber zone. Yeah, thank you, Peter.
Yeah.
So, Will, sorry, how did you merge? Sorry, so how did you slowly morph from, as you described, more scientific, you know?
So you've seen the older videos, right? Like the more sketch comedy ones?
Yeah.
The special effects.
I've seen them on your other channel.
So I'm saying, how did you go from, as you described,
more scientific? That's what I'm saying. So like basically it was a merger of the two. So like we had been for like a year and a half straight, we made a bunch of these like inspired by like Freddie W and Corridor Digital kind of special effects and like skits. And like there are, you know, a lot of, they're all really dumb. And so when I did the science stuff, I kind of saw people liking the science and then I started not caring about trying to use it for like a job reference because I was like, oh man, there's like a lot of people who do this. There was like Ben Krasnow, right? Who did like, you know, does this thesis level projects. And you had Simone at the time. And I think there's, you know, you had Smarter Every Day and Mark Rober and you had Backyard Scientist. So I think that it was kind of like I gave up. I didn't give up, but I was like, well, maybe I don't have to be like, I don't have to treat this just as like a job seeking thing of like showing stuff. I can, you know, try to maybe turn it into more of a YouTube channel. So I definitely had the idea in the back of my head to like turn it into an actual functioning YouTube channel. But like, dude, I would never say that I knew it was going to be a big YouTube channel. Like I basically was like, you know, it's like buying a scratcher at the store and you're like, I'm going to win $250,000, you know, like, you know, all you can do is try.
Yeah. I don't think you could ever start it knowing that it's going to become anything.
No way. Look at Mr. Beast, dude. He did it for how long? Like 13 years or something like that. Like there's no way. Like the only reason he ended up with that mentality is because he literally didn't stop trying and he just like learned it the whole time. Like he figured out how to do it. Like that's why he's successful.
Yeah.
Not because he knew he would, but because he didn't stop.
But the key there is that he just liked, I'm assuming, he just liked doing what he was doing because...
No, I think he just wanted to be a YouTuber.
I mean, okay.
All right, we should wrap this up. All right, this is episode number 2 of Safety Third with Niall Redd, Peter Streeple, and the Backdoor Scientist. And I don't know, maybe next week I'll be back in the hospital. There's like a 50-50 chance I have to get my appendix taken out after the antibiotics are over. All right, on that note, I'll see you guys, next week.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.